Our Heavenly Father, the Sovereign, the Holy, the Perfect, and Majestic God, we come into your presence with gratitude and in worship as we acknowledge our own weakness and helplessness and recognize your greatness, your love, your power, your kindness toward us. We thank you for all that you have done for us, and we thank you for what you have in store for us in the future. We pray that you teach us how to appreciate what you are doing and to walk with you, respond well to you, to live a life that is truly meaningful and pleasing in your sight. Teach us to develop true worth in our being, quality that will last for eternity. We thank you for being with us, and we ask that the Spirit of God will be our teacher, our guide, help us as we look at the scriptures, that we may understand what you desire to teach us. For this we pray and thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are considering true worth and the subject, what am I worth? The fifth message. We have sought to appreciate from the example of two disciples of the Lord Jesus as recorded in Mark chapter 10 verses 35 to 45. The way they responded in the situation and how the response of the Lord Jesus and the associated issues can help us in our own lives. Today we go on to ponder over further questions arising from this passage. Mark chapter 10, verse 39. And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized." So in Mark chapter 10, verse 39, we see the response of the Lord Jesus to the answer given by James and John. They said, "We are able." This arose because the Lord Jesus asked them the question, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" The disciples said, "We are able." Why then did the Lord Jesus say, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized"? The Lord Jesus knew that the disciples were not able to drink the cup or to be baptized with the baptism with which he was baptized. The Lord Jesus had already said, "You do not know what you are asking for." The Lord Jesus saw their deficiencies. The Lord Jesus knew that they were not able, and yet they said, "We are able." Many people may respond to such a situation with the remark, "You are too confident. You are professing what is not real." Many would rebuke the disciples for their arrogance and audacity to proclaim that they were able to drink the cup and go through the baptism, when in fact they were not. But we see the Lord Jesus did not respond that way. Instead, he said, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized." Why is it the Lord Jesus responded this way? We see that the Lord Jesus knew what was in their heart. He knew that in the midst of their deficiencies, they had a genuine longing for true worth in their being. They longed for something meaningful in eternity. Yes, there were aspects that were not right. There was self-confidence. There was manifestation of the flesh. But underlying that, the Lord Jesus saw that they had a genuine longing for true worth in their being. The Lord Jesus also knew that they were not yet able. But God would sovereignly undertake to teach them and train them so that they would develop true worth in the process of transformation. The Lord Jesus said, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink in the future. You are not yet able, but there will come a time when you will taste of the cup. You will understand in a deeper way and go through with me the difficulties of life in the right way." Although they denied the Lord Jesus, they fled. We see from the record of the scriptures that subsequently they went through suffering for his name's sake. They did develop, they did learn, and they did drink the cup and go through the baptism. However, we should bear in mind that true worth can be developed at different levels of quality. The disciples drank the cup, but there were different degrees of meaning and quality in the process of their development. We see the Lord Jesus teaching them, helping them to understand what this would mean. And we see God leading them through situations that gave them the opportunity to develop and to drink the cup. Matthew 26, verses 36 and 37 tell us how the Lord Jesus brought his disciples to Gethsemane. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. This was part of the Lord Jesus' training of the disciples. We are told specifically he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. The Lord Jesus was teaching them some aspects of the meaning of drinking the cup and going through the baptism. He began to be grieved and distressed. The disciples witnessed the agony of the Lord Jesus in this process of his preparation for the event of the cross. We know that at this point of time, the disciples failed. They could not keep watch with him for 1 hour. They subsequently deserted him. They fled. But God was sovereignly undertaking to teach them. Subsequently, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, after Pentecost and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the disciples grew and learned more what it meant to be true disciples of the Lord. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. "And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico." Acts of the Apostles describes how the apostles sought to preach the gospel, to serve the Lord. God worked in their midst. But there was opposition, and they had to face difficulties, pain, and suffering. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. But the high priest rose up, along with all his associates, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in a public jail. The apostles suffered persecution, they were arrested and put in a public jail. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 to 42. And they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them to speak no more in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Before they were released, they were flogged, and they were specifically ordered to speak no more in the name of Jesus. The apostles went on their way from the presence of the council rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were learning to drink the cup, learning to suffer for the Lord Jesus, for his name's sake. They were glad that they had been considered worthy. The word worthy can also be translated as fit or qualified. They were considered worthy or fit to suffer shame for his name. This tells us that there was development in their lives. They were growing in quality. True worth was being built up within them so that they could meaningfully suffer for the Lord Jesus. They were learning to drink the cup. In the eyes of men, it was a shameful thing to be flogged, to be imprisoned. However, in reality, it was an honor for them to suffer for the Lord's name. It was something meaningful, something pleasing to God, something that will help them further in the development of their being. We see that this event took place in the context of their faithfulness to God. Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 29. Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 29. And when they had brought them, they stood them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men." They were brought before the council, the religious authorities among the Jewish people. They were given strict orders not to continue teaching in the name of the Lord Jesus. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men." Earlier, they had fled when the Lord Jesus was arrested. They were fearful. Now, they took their stand with God and with the Lord Jesus. "We must obey God rather than men." And they were willing to face the consequences of that. The suffering, the pain, the difficulties associated with being followers of the Lord Jesus and being faithful to God. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. So we see the apostles were arrested, they were flogged, they suffered. And in the case of James, the brother of John, he was killed at this stage. He was killed because he belonged to the church. He was killed because he was an apostle of the Lord Jesus. He died for the sake of the Lord Jesus. So we see that James went through this process of drinking the cup and going through the baptism. His brother John lived on, and in the book of Revelation, we read his description of his own state at a later stage. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. The Apostle John says that he was a fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus. He continued to go through difficult times. He continued to suffer as an apostle of the Lord Jesus. He learned to drink the cup. And he said that he was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. This likely refers to his being exiled to the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And yet it was in that context that he received revelation from God to communicate and to write down the last book of the scriptures. Revelation. So we see then God in his sovereignty helps us to develop true worth. If we want to grow in the quality of our being, it's important that we look beyond the situations around us to see what God is seeking to do in our lives. God will sovereignly undertake to help us to develop that quality in our being if we truly want it. If God sees in our heart the genuine desire to be what he wants us to be, to develop true quality in our lives, then he will undertake to help us. God, in his sovereign choice, will bring about situations to help us develop true worth in the context of our choice to love him with all our hearts. If we genuinely love God and we want to be true to him, God will help us. And he knows the best way to help us if we are prepared to cooperate with him, walk with him, trust him, respond well. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. This passage is very meaningful in helping us understand how God is working in this world. The Apostle Paul tells us very clearly, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Whether we love God or not is our choice. God does not compel us to love Him. He doesn't force us to love Him. He doesn't make us love Him. He calls us to love Him. He shows us why we should love Him. He has done all things good for us so that we have good reason to love Him. But it is up to us whether we will love Him or not. If we do, if we genuinely love God, then God will sovereignly undertake such that all things will work together for good in our lives. The Apostle Paul then went on to explain the whole approach that God takes in helping us. Verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew." This is to explain the way in which God works. As he foreknew, he predestined. God sees our heart. God recognizes what is within us. Do we truly love Him? Do we truly want to develop quality in our being? The Lord Jesus saw that in the heart of James and John, there was a genuine longing and desire for true quality in their being. So although they had their weaknesses and failures, He said, "You shall drink the cup." God will undertake to teach you, help you, lead you through situations so that you can develop the quality that you long for. God foreknows. He understands. He sees our heart. And as He sees what we truly long for, He will work. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. God will sovereignly undertake. He will work in the direction of helping us to develop the character of the Lord Jesus. Drinking the cup, going through the baptism, is to be like the Lord Jesus, living a life of self-giving, of moral and spiritual beauty. Verse 30 tells us, "Whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." This is to tell us the process in which God works. As he sees, he chooses. As he chooses, he calls. As he calls, he justifies. As he justifies, he glorifies.